Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 1st of December, recording at 6:28 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, the first thing I want to mention, this really is a big, exciting new feature on the Fuller Money website, is the new chart library. And I just, I'm absolutely delighted with it, and I think many of you people will be as well. If you just want to go through and have a quick look at 40 instruments that are extremely interesting and relevant, well, the library's your ticket for that. So it's another Fuller Money feature for subscribers, and no additional subscription cost on that. And what I like about it most, I think, is being able to see what I regard as really good point and figure charts with lots of back history. And I know that a lot of my long-term subscribers have been saying, well, you know, how come we don't see enough, or we don't see enough, we'd like to see more point and figure charts and so on. And I have posted them from time to time, as you know, as is Owen, but it's a bit of a palaver, frankly, to get them on the scales that we want and so on. It's taking a lot of time, and so I stopped doing it, knowing that this library was in the wings, and we will use those charts from time to time, but more importantly, you can scroll through those every single day, and just remember, they're updated after markets close. Okay, what have we got here today? First, a rip-roaring stock market rally. It didn't start in Asia, and the reason for that is that Wall Street had been down for, I think, a couple of days, and Asia was saw a little bit of profit-taking in here today. Nothing too heavy. The most boring thing in Asia by far is the Japanese market, which just drifts in this base development phase. But the big kicker in here is that oil is down nearly $3 as I speak, and that helped to propel what was already a firm start in the European markets, and created some good moves in here today. And Wall Street also has romped, and we've got the Dow up 126 as I speak, the S&P 14 and the NASDAQ composite is up 33. So those are good solid gains, as I say, owing a lot to this soft oil price, which has fallen back to retest its recent reaction lows. Now, bottom line here, the my script for this medium-term rally, which has been evident really since the middle of August, is that it is still on course to carry well into the first quarter of 2005. And the factors that I've mentioned that could interrupt it were a rising oil price, with a warning coming with oil over 50, well, at 46.20. Threat is temporarily in the background. Rising interest rates would be another one here. And we will see interest rates push higher, but possibly not quickly enough to unnerve markets between now and well into the first quarter of next year. Well, gosh, it's not that far away, is it? First quarter of next year. And the third factor here would be a runaway decline in the dollar, which caused more crisis talk. So far, this decline in the dollar is good for the U.S. stock market overall, and it hasn't really weighed on other stock markets. But if it picks up speed, and trends usually do pick up speed, certainly big international trends such as this, that will be destabilizing. But as I've said all along with this rally, let's enjoy it while we've got it. So I see no need to disturb existing positions, and I'm happy to be way overweight in natural resources, mining, the mining areas, and oil, my biggest duff position here in the moment in terms of anything that I've picked up in the last couple of years, or my current position in the Nikkei 225 stock index futures. But given global commonality in terms of this strong rally, I'll hold on to that and almost certainly roll it forward if it hasn't rebounded sufficiently between now and when that contract expires. I think it's about 10 days' time. Okay, what else to mention here? Government bonds still soft here. I'm looking mainly at the U.S. U.S. Treasury bonds. Ah, now something I forgot to put on the website. I'll put it on tomorrow. I did roll over my JGBs, the Japanese government bond position, and I mentioned yesterday that I was going to do that, and I did take a small loss on that. I had sold them short at 137.55 and wound up covering them as it was rolled into the next month, March position, at 138.74. So lost 1.19 on that. I could have stayed out of that, but my feeling is that if I do that, it probably won't be too long before I see a downward dynamic in this within this extended top formation development, and the U.S. Treasury bond picture looks sufficiently bearish. I'm short there, of course, and I've got some additional sell orders above the market. Got quite close here today, but no cigar. And therefore, I am, as you know, bearish of these government bonds, but specifically the U.S. Treasuries and the JGBs. And the U.S. Treasuries are the ones that are in form right now, if you're bearish, that is. Okay, in terms of currencies, now this is a good day here for the dollar bears. I'm looking at the euro right now, up at 133.22, so that's up 44 ticks. Sterling has really surged, that's up at 193.10. And everybody writing in the $2 level would hardly be a surprise. And yen down at 102.69, that's down 0.38. So again, weak dollar in here. Generally, despite all the jawboning that's actually taking place. Now, that weak dollar has helped the metals, and gold had a low today of at 450.44. Now, I increased my long position yesterday once again. Gold futures are now my biggest speculative position, and that's currently trading at 454, so it's up $3 on the day, and so not bad technical action at all. Nice orderly trend, but obviously this does owe a lot to it's primarily due to the U.S. dollar's weakness here right now. But you might have seen that chart of gold and yen. It looks to me like gold will be breaking up against the yen before too long, and I don't think it'll be all that much longer in terms of years before we see gold resume and extend its advances against other currencies as well. Gold has mostly been ranging against them for the last nearly 2 years. I'm talking about the euro, of course, mainly. Now, also of interest, just a job backwards here for a moment in terms of currencies. I do still have that one-third position in the Australian dollar, and that's where the stop had not been executed, and I decided to hold on. That's working slightly in my favor at the moment. It's at 77.66, and with the dollar weak generally, I think for me, and having had those two little items of unfavorable news for the Australian dollar that came out, there shouldn't be any more shoes to drop, hopefully, not here in the short term. We had a little bit of jawboning there as well But since the dollar is basically weak, and since the Australian stock market is still firm, albeit having a little bit of a wobble in here today, and because they've got the natural resources sector, even though GDP growth is slowed down, I'm not at the risk of being complacent, I'm not worried about an unraveling of the Australian dollar here at this stage. Now, in terms of other markets, now that's the palladium is down a little bit. I might increase my position if it's still down tomorrow, close to 211.55. The one that went absolutely gangbusters is silver, 808.5 here. So that's up over nearly 31 cents in here, just steaming ahead. And I'm still feeling vexatious about that because I stupidly bought the silver standard shares traded in the U.S. instead of buying silver last time around. And that's despite my saying over and over again that I really, really do prefer the actual metals to the shares that produce or hold them. And I should have followed my own advice. Okay, and what else to mention? In the industrial metals, we've got some small gains in here. The dollar softness is obviously helping them, and that weakness in oil might have triggered a little knock-on profit taking. Best gainers are things like lead, which I no longer hold, unfortunately, having been stopped out at a profit, I think it was last week. They're all a little bit, well, no, they're not. Nickel's down $90 in here today. Aluminium down 8. Tin, which I do still own, up a bit, but this is really just range bound, and tin needs to get back above that $9,000 level to revive expectations, mine and others, that it's going to break out of this narrow trading range on the upside. It's certainly in with a chance, but I would feel a lot happier if it moved back into a backwardation, and it's not at the moment. It's showing a very small contango. And coffee, another good day in here. The U.S. market closed off the highs, but was still up 115 at 98.60, and the U.K. contract, where I still own the March position, closed up 20 at 7.81. Natural gas, fortunately, not being dragged down anything like the way the crude oil and the other oil contracts are being dragged down today, but it is down a little bit, 7.43 on the March contract. Have an excellent evening.